That was a less than dramatic ending. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Great to see you all here. Very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us today. If you live in the area and you're looking for a church to call your very own home, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement. Just speak to me and we'll make sure that happens soon. And if you are traveling, we pray for safe travel and a joyful homecoming for you. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. We are continuing to gather food for the Thanksgiving food boxes that we will be sending out. There are grocery bags and shopping lists up there on the round tables, so if you haven't done so yet, please pick one up and do some shopping. Bring it back by early next week. Can't believe Thanksgiving is sneaking up on us so quick, but it is. Now, on the back of the words of the week, there's some important information. The Welcome Group, our women of the church, will gather for a Bible study this coming Wednesday at 12:30, right out there in the narthex. Always good treats and a good time of fellowship, so come and join them on Wednesday at 12:30. And Mary is going to tell you about the other big event coming up next week.
Okay, so the other big event next week is we have a concert next Sunday at 2 o'clock. Aaron Meyer, a rock violinist, is going to be here to entertain us, and everyone is invited to come. It's a free concert. There will be a free will offering for the Youth Symphony Festival, and there actually will be a quartet that will be playing with him opening the program before he begins. We're also looking for some homemade cookies, because of course we like to eat at intermission and after everybody's leaving, so cookies and lemonade will be served. But I hope you can all come 2 o'clock next Sunday.
2 o'clock next Sunday. Be there or be square. So Rhonda gave me a note this morning. Apparently this weekend is End Gun Violence Sabbath. And I didn't get the email, but she did. So I'm going to give you the information. It was sent out on Friday. So today, Friday, throughout Oregon, begins End Gun Violence Sabbath, sponsored by Lift Every Voice Oregon and Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, that will include faith communities and other organizations in the state. The Sabbath runs today, that was Friday through Sunday today. Given another tragic school shooting on Thursday that impacts every child and student in this nation, our collective action this weekend will make a powerful statement to all in Oregon on the eve of submitting a ballot initiative for the November 2020 election that will be grassroots driven by people like yourself. Over 4,000 Oregonians will be praying and acting together toward a common purpose this weekend to end gun violence. As another school shooting topped the headlines yesterday, we were reminded just why this work is so important. Until there are no more killings, no mass shootings, no gang violence, no suicides, no accidents, no killing, our work is not done. So the Oregon legislature is gathering in Salem this coming Monday through Wednesday to start setting priorities for their spring 2020 short session. You are invited to contact your state legislators, especially your state senator, this week by phone or letter to let them know that you are interested in stopping gun violence. So please do so. Any other announcements this morning? If not, please stand for our gathering hymn number 437 from Georgia's Stormy Bank, I Stand.
To gain unsolved heaven.
one God, healer of our every ill, source of unending mercy. Amen. Embraced in enduring grace and love, let us turn again to God, confessing the truth about ourselves. Merciful God, we come before you, beloved but broken. We have not always treated others as we would want them to treat us. We have not always called out injustice and abuse. We have not always been kind to ourselves. We have not always taken care of the world we share with other living creatures. Remind us of who we are, beloved children bathed in your love. Renew us by your Spirit to live as your holy people, bringing healing to the brokenness around us. Amen. At every moment, you are held in existence by the love of God, renewed by the Spirit within and among you, and made alive again in Christ. Receive this assurance in Jesus' name. You are forgiven and free to live for the healing of the world. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 823. Torment your sister during the children's sermon. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Doing good? All right. So today I'm thinking about fear. What are you afraid of? You afraid of anything?
Spiders.
Spiders. You know what the name of that fear is?
Arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia. I don't like spiders either. What? You're scared of tarantulas? That's arachnophobia too. Arachnotarantula phobia. What about you? Huh?
Raccoon
eating. What are you afraid of? Anything?
Bees.
Bees? I don't know the name of that phobia. Afraid of getting stung. Stingophobia, maybe. Huh? Yeah, I'm not afraid of bees, but I don't like being stung. So I looked up some very common fear names today, and I'll talk about why I did that in a minute. There were a long time ago, during a very troubling time in our country, one of our presidents said, "The only thing we need to fear is
fear itself."
You know what fear is? Phobophobia. Fear of fear. Okay, we talked about arachnophobia. I have, in my childhood, I had a traumatic experience in a chicken coop that my grandpa's farm. And I'm still having post-traumatic stress symptoms from that. And so I'm a little bit afraid of birds. Not birds outside, but if there's a bird in here, I'd be freaked out, okay? And that's called ornithophobia, fear of birds. Ophidiophobia is another one I have. Fear of snakes. Anybody else afraid of snakes? Anybody? Yeah, Bev's afraid of snakes. Oh, anybody afraid of the dark? Anybody need a nightlight in their room because they're afraid of the dark?
Just a tiny one.
Just a tiny one?
Yeah.
So that's nyctophobia. How about fear of flying? Anybody afraid to fly? Yep, there's a few. Bev's afraid of a lot of stuff. Being married to Pepit makes her a fearful person. Fear of flying is aerophobia. Some people are afraid to get up and speak like this. Anybody afraid of public speaking? That's a very, very common fear. You get up and read. Are you afraid to do that? Glossophobia. Afraid of public speaking. One more. Claustrophobia. You know what claustrophobia is? Fear of Santa Claus. No, not really. It's fear of being in a small space. If you've got claustrophobia, you don't even want to go in an elevator because they're just too small and confined. So we have lots and lots and lots of fears. I bring that up because in our gospel reading for today, Jesus talks about fear, and he tells his disciples about some really scary stuff, wars and famines and plagues and all kinds of stuff. And he says, do not be afraid. Actually, he says, don't be terrified. Why?
Because it's not actually real.
Well, it is real.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it is real. But he says, don't be afraid because I am with you. So sometimes there are scary things that happen to us in this life, right? Sometimes we are afraid. But when we have those moments when we're afraid, we can always remember, I'm not alone. That Jesus is with me in this moment. And maybe that will help us with our fear, okay? So you try to remember that next time you're afraid of whatever. I'll try to remember that the next time a bird gets in here. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior and our Lord, and for the promise that he is with us all the time. Help us to remember that promise, especially those times when we are afraid, so that we can live in faith and not in fear, and that help us to share the good news of your love with all our friends so that they can come and join us in worshiping you too. Bless these children today and always, and keep them in your care. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Fear of children must be one. I don't know what that would be called.
I have none, right?
first reading this morning is from Malachi 4. Malachi, whose name means my messenger, warns that the day of the Lord is coming. On that day, the evil will be destroyed like stubble in a fire, but the sun of righteousness will shine on those who fear God. Hear now the word. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm together, which is on page 3 in the bulletin, Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory.
O Lord, we have made alone your victory. We have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations.
You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing.
Sing to the Lord with the harp and with the voice of song.
With trumpets and sound of the horn, shout for joy for the King of the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell there within.
Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth.
The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. The second lesson is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Some members of the Thessalonian community, because of their belief in the nearness of Christ's return, had ceased to work, living off the generosity of other members of the community. Paul warns them bluntly that if they want to hear, they need to work. Hear now the word. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness, and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day, so that we might not burden in any of you. This was not because we did not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command. Anyone willing to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the name of the Lord Jesus to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke, the 21st chapter, glory to you, O Lord. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another, all will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. A few years ago, I received in the mail this beautiful full-color pamphlet entitled Asteroid Impact, Scientific Lunacy or Biblical Prophecy. In it, the authors, a group which calls themselves Wake Up America, predicts that in the near future, not one but two large asteroids will smash into our planet. One of them will impact our planet in an ocean, throwing up huge tsunamis that will devastate coastal areas, which of course is not good news for us. And the second one will strike on land, triggering immense earthquakes and altering our weather patterns for years to come. The effects of all this, of course, will be catastrophic for life on this earth. These asteroids and the destruction they bring, according to this organization, is the judgment of God. God is coming to deal with the sinfulness of earth, they say, and everyone here will experience in fearful and disastrous ways the wrath, the anger of God. To prove their point, the authors cite a number of scripture passages, primarily from Revelation, of course, to show us that God has long warned us of this terrible event, which is even now in the making, as these two large asteroids speed toward our planet. Well, this doomsday prediction is but one of many end-time scenarios that are currently available to us if you go looking. Check out any so-called Christian bookstore, or listen to a variety of TV and radio preachers, and you will find yourself engulfed with the news that in some way or another, this present world will soon be coming to an end. The popularity of these books, pamphlets, and preachers point out, I think, that we are a people who live in fear. We seem to have a deep-seated fear that all the things around us, all the things that seem so permanent and secure, will one day come to an end. And it is this fear that Jesus addresses in our gospel reading today. He and his disciples are leaving the temple in Jerusalem for this story, where Jesus has been teaching and debating with his adversaries. As they leave that beautiful structure, his disciples, acting like the country bumpkins that they are, exclaim to Jesus about the beauty and the grandeur of that awesome building. Jesus listened to them, but then shocked them to their core by saying to them, "Do you see these stones? Why, I tell you that the day is coming soon when they will all come crashing down, until not one stone will be left upon another." The disciples, of course, are understandably appalled at what they've just heard. The temple, God's own house, destroyed? Surely that could never happen. And then, like those of us who read the current doomsday books and listen to the end times preachers, we ask, "When, Lord? When will all this happen? And what are the signs that will tell us these things are about to take place?" So to those fear-filled disciples, and to we who are sometimes much like them, Jesus responds by issuing a warning, a challenge, and a word of hope. First, the warning. Beware, Jesus says, Beware, be careful that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, the time is near. Don't go after them. Isn't it fascinating that this would be Jesus' first word of advice to us? Why, it's almost like he's looking in our mailboxes and visiting our bookstores and listening to the TV and radio preachers who are so popular these days. Jesus knows. He knows that we are curious and fearful about the future. And he knows that in our fear and uncertainty, we might flock to those who profess to have some answers. And he knows about those who will play on our fears using his name and who will promise to unlock for us the secrets contained in the scriptures. And because Jesus knows this, he warns us, don't go near any of that stuff. Don't listen to those who don't really know what in the heck they're talking about. Be wary, be careful, and don't be misled. The future is not ours to know, at least not in any detail, and anyone who claims to know is both a liar and a fraud. And then Jesus goes on to issue a word of challenge to us. He lists a long litany of disasters that every generation has, earthquakes, famines, plagues, and wars. He tells his disciples that they will be arrested and persecuted and even put to death because of their connection with him. But despite all these dark and dire events, despite all the things that threaten us in this broken world, Jesus gives us a challenge. Do not be afraid. In effect, I think what Jesus is saying to us here is that we should not let our fears paralyze us, for we have work to do. These things, Jesus says, gives you an opportunity to witness. They give you an opportunity to tell the story of God's love to the world. In the midst of darkness, chaos, and fear, in the midst of our present time, we are the ones who are called. We are the ones who are charged with carrying to the world a message of light and love. For our message is not one of doom and gloom, as we hear from so many preachers these days, but instead is a word of hope. And that hope is this. We've peeked ahead to the end of the story. And we know it has a happy ending. For in the end, the one who is coming is not coming as an enemy, but as a friend. The one who is coming is the same one who came to this earth full of grace and truth. He is the one of whom the angels sang about, announcing the birth of the Prince of Peace. The one who is coming is the same one who said that he came to seek and to save the lost, as we heard last Sunday. The one who is coming to usher in the end is the same one who came to suffer and die for us, so that we might belong to God forever. It is the same one who, when we had done our very worst to him, looked down upon us from the cross in love and mercy and said, Father, forgive them. Yes, we live in a fearful world, a world torn by wars and rumors of war, of terrorism and dropping bombs, a world of greed and pride where the strong and rich oppress the weak and the poor, a world where many lack the food and water they need to sustain life. And yet, in the midst of it all, our Lord gives us a word of hope. Be confident, he says, for I am with you. Be confident, for in Christ, all the battles that need to be won have already been won. That is what the cross and the empty tomb are all about. So all the talk about calamities and tumults and signs and portents, they are not meant to scare us, but to assure us. To assure us that no matter what happens, there are no surprises for God. For God, our God, holds all things in his hands. God holds us in his hands. And he has promised us that nothing can ever separate us from him and from his love. So yes, one day the end will come. One day my end will come. One day your end will come. One day the world's end will come. But when it comes, does it really matter if my end comes by way of a huge rock falling from space or from a tiny cancer cell that invades my body? Does it really matter if I'm struck by an asteroid or a 57 Studebaker? Which, by the way, I found out was Bruce Mayne's first car. No, but what matters is this. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. When our end comes, we need not be afraid, for in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have already seen a vision of our future. When the end comes, yours, mine, or the world's, our God has promised us that it's not really the end at all, but only a new beginning. And we know the one that awaits us there. The one who was born among us, full of grace and truth. The one who suffered and died for our sins and for the sins of the world. The one who rose again, winning for us and for all the promise of a life that is eternal. Because of him, because of Jesus, the day of our God will not be one of doom and gloom, despite what you might hear. Not at all. Instead, the end will be for us a day full of the grace and mercy of our God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as we sing, O God of Every Nation, number 713. Somewhere else, we're going to ignore those. So, bottom of page 4. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high, so that we can be the servant people we were made and called to be. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
United with the saints of every time and place, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, when we question the future, you reveal the hope of victory through your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the wisdom to rely on your words and the courage to witness your love and faithfulness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our joy, the seas and the hills shout your praise. Inspire us to sing a joyful song to you as we work to preserve and protect your marvelous creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our ruler, you judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Grant perseverance to world leaders and elected officials so that they never go weary of doing what is right. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, you offer peace to fearful hearts. Heal the hurts of all those who suffer injustice and persecution, those who spend months and years in prisons and in hospitals, and for anyone in need today. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our song. Thank you for worship leaders, artists, and musicians who create works of praise and prayer. Guide them in their leadership and empower them to lift up new voices and works of art among the assembly. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Everlasting God, as we await the dawn of the new heaven and the new earth, we give thanks for your beloved who have died in Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, we do indeed lift to you all who are broken this day, all who are in need. Remembering especially in our prayers today, Kevin Lent, Ann Swinehart, Norma Henning, Judy Whitlatch, Laura Cusick, Vo Newell, Donna Bowman, Ed Lord, Dan Rumagoo, Lisa Leshock, John McKenzie, Linda Goble, Michelle Taylor, and Dick Tyler. Come to these and to all your people who are ill or in need, O God, and fill them with your gifts of healing and wholeness, with your presence and with your peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hear now the prayers of these your children, O God, whether we speak those prayers to you aloud or whisper them to you in the silence of our hearts. Rejoicing in hope, O God, we lift our prayers to you, trusting that you receive them into your loving care through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Share that peace with your brothers and sisters. Our service will continue now with the offering. Let us pray. God, our Creator, you give us all we are,
all we have, all we bring, and all we need. Draw us together around your table with all your saints on earth and in your eternal home. Let us eat and drink your promises of new life, that we might be your promise to the world. Spoken in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Surrounded by evil and bordered by death, we appeal to you, our sovereign, our wisdom, and our judge. We praise you for Christ, who proclaimed your reign of peace and promised an end to injustice and harm. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, the sacrifice of his life and death and the victory of his resurrection, we await with all the saints his loving redemption of our suffering world. Send your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine and on all who share in the body and blood of your Son. Teach us your mercy and justice, and make all things new in Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The sacrament will be received this morning standing or kneeling at the altar railing and using the individual glasses. Again, the purple liquid on the outer rings is wine, the clear liquid in the center, grape juice. I also have gluten-free wafers available. If you have need of those, let me know when you come forward. Our God keeps adding places to the table, so come to the banquet of grace that has no end.
Thank you.
Strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, God, our host, for inviting us here to taste the future when you will feed all the hungry at your table. Keep this hope alive in us and in our communities so that we might bring hope to a suffering world in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Signed and sealed by the Holy Spirit, you are Christ's message of love for this troubled world. May our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good word and work. Amen. Our sending hymn is number 438. Thanks be to God.